Welcome to this message from the pulpit of West Main Baptist Church in Alexandria, Tennessee. This message is by Pastor Ben Simpson. To find out more about our church and its ministries, visit us on the web at westmainbaptist.com. Now may the Lord bless you in the hearing of His holy word.
Scripture today is taken from 1 Peter chapter 1, the 3rd through the 5th verses. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time.
Well, let's pray together this morning. Father, we come to you this morning, Lord, and we glory in and we celebrate the empty tomb of Jesus Christ. We don't understand it all. Though Jesus was dead and buried 3 days, on the third day, just as He had prophesied and you had promised, you raised Him up from the dead. Father, praise you this morning. God, our hearts are just overflowing. And as the sweet song says, up from the grave Jesus arose with a mighty triumph over His foes. And Father, we do not claim to understand all the mystery of the resurrection, but this morning we believe it and we find our hope in nothing else. Father, I pray that you would give us a special measure of faith this morning and may that overflow with gratefulness. Father, for the kindness that you've shown us in Christ Jesus and in His resurrection, please give us eyes to see and ears to hear the great worth of Jesus Christ through your word. It's in His name we pray. Amen. Well, I once read a story about a little 3-year-old girl. Her name was Nicole. And she could not wait for Easter to come. She just couldn't wait. And about this time, her mom was actually pregnant with her third child. And so they were having wedding showers and all these things getting ready for this. And they were getting new gifts. And so the little girl, they decided that she needed a new dress for Easter. And so her mom went and bought her a bonnet, a pretty white bonnet, and bought her a new dress and all those things. But the mom wasn't able. She wasn't feeling well enough to go and get the shoes. So she asked the daddy, said, "Daddy, will you go out with Nicole and get her a pair of Easter shoes to go with her dress?" And so they went out to the store to get a pair of shoes that would go so well with her outfit. And as the daughter and daddy were on the way, Nicole began to tell her dad again, "Daddy, I cannot wait for Easter." And so her dad said, "Well, do you know what Easter means, honey?" And she said, "Yes." And he asked her, "Well, what does Easter mean?" And in a sweet 3-year-old way, with arms raised and a smile on her face, at the top of her voice, here's what she said: "Surprise! Surprise!" Now think about this. He began to think about it and he said, "That's perfect. That's perfect. Surprise, death. Surprise, sin. Surprised, grieving disciples. Surprise, mankind. Jesus is alive." Amen? Amen. Nearly 2,000 years ago, something happened that would change time and history forever. On this day, the Sunday after the Passover, around the year AD 32, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, got up out of His 3-day-old tomb and walked out. He was surely dead as they placed Him in the tomb. There's no doubt about it. The Scripture tells us that as was the custom of the Roman soldiers, as they were crucifying Him, as the day wore on, typically if a person had not died yet, they would come along and they would break their legs with a club so that they would die sooner. Now think about this. I mean, the crucifixion is an ugly way to die, and the primary way that you die is through suffocation. I mean, you wouldn't think that, but that is. That's the primary way the person would die, is through suffocation. And so they would break their legs so that they could not push up any longer on the cross to expand their chest to breathe, and it would quicken their death. And so this Roman soldier, knowing that they needed to hurry things along, came with his club to break the legs of Jesus, and the Bible says that he did not have to because Jesus was already dead. And just to be sure, the Roman soldier picked up a spear, the Bible says, and stabbed it into our Savior's side, and he did not flinch one bit. Friends, he was surely dead when they placed him in the tomb. Dear friends, placed Jesus in the tomb. They did. They rolled a huge stone over the entrance to keep animals and to keep grave robbers from getting inside. But on that Easter morning, Jesus was resurrected, literally brought back to life from the dead. He walked out of the grave, and here's the beautiful thing. He not only was he full of life, listen to me, church, not only was he full of life, he was full of the ability to give life. And that's exactly why God brought him, sent him to this earth to take on flesh, so that Jesus Christ, through him, we could give us life. And as we look at this morning, Jesus Christ has made a way for us to be brought to life out of spiritual death, out of our spiritual tomb, and to come even out of our physical tomb when he returns. And so here's our big idea this morning. Here is my burden for your heart and for my heart. Come to life. Come to life. As I speak those words over you, I pray that Jesus is working right now in your heart, if he has not already, to bring you to life. Come to life. And here are the three things we'll look at this morning. First, life is only found through Jesus. Second, life with Jesus is to the fullest. And then finally, life with Jesus is protected. Let's look here first. Come to life. Life is only found through Jesus, and we want to make that clear. Look at verse 3 with me. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, according to his great mercy, has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, as you look here, Peter opens up. He's just in unabashed praise to God. He's in unabashed praise to God. He cannot help himself. He's praising, blessed be the name of God. Let me ask you a question. Who else should we worship and praise other than God? Who else should we worship and praise other than God? You see, it's God alone who is eternal. It's God alone who's almighty and most high. Friends, it's God alone who gave the universe and all that is in it. The universe and everything that's in it, especially you and me. He's the one that gave us existence. He's the one that has given us purpose. It's God alone who is perfect in love. He perfectly loves. He's perfectly wise. He's perfectly just. Friends, it's God alone who sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into the world to live and to die for us. Therefore, this morning I declare to you that it is God alone who is deserving of our praise and worship this morning. In fact, you were made to worship. You were created to worship. That is why God placed you on this planet. If you haven't figured it out, there you go. That's free this morning. There's the advice. I've just unraveled the secret to the meaning of life for you. You'd have paid somebody else $1,000. You just got it for free this morning. You were made to worship God. And that's exactly what Peter's doing here. What else can he do? What else can he do? He's shameless before God. He's exuberant and overflowing. He's beside himself with wonder and amazement. And as I look at this text, I'm asking myself, Ben, what in the world has him so stirred up? It's one little word in here. One small five-letter word. You find it right there. Right there in verse 3. the word mercy. The word mercy. That's what's got him so stirred up. Mercy. Here's how I define mercy. Mercy is this. Mercy is giving or getting a break from punishment that's deserved. That's what mercy is. Giving or getting a break from punishment that's deserved. It's like this. Let's say that you're driving down High Street here in Alexandria. Anybody know what the speed limit is in Alexandria on High Street? 30 miles an hour. Let's say for some reason you're driving 47 miles an hour down High Street. And before you know it, there's a copper behind you. And he wants to talk with you for just a moment. And so he walks up there beside you. He has every right by the law. What does he have a right to do? To write you a what? A ticket. We deserved it. I deserved it. I was driving. You were driving too fast. That would be totally just. But instead, the officer walks very sternly up to your car and says, "Son, slow down. Slow down. I'm not writing you a ticket today. Slow down." That's mercy. You deserved a ticket, but you didn't get one. Right? That's mercy. Maybe for you younger folks, you've not experienced driving yet. Let me illustrate it for you in this way. Here's what mercy is. Let's say that right after church one day, you and your family head home, and you pull up into your driveway, and immediately you notice that there is a glorious mud puddle. I mean, it's full <laughs> It's full of mud. I mean, it's about that deep, and you can just see mud just sort of bubbling up. Man, it's the type of place that a frog would give birth to tadpoles. You know what I'm saying? And your eyes are glued on that. Now, girls, don't act like y'all wouldn't jump in a mud puddle either, because I know you would. I know you would. And as you see this mud puddle, I mean, your eyes are just glued to it. Well, Dad looks out the corner of his eye, and he sees those eyes bugging out. And he says, "Now listen here. You got your Sunday best on. Don't you dare jump in that mud puddle. Don't you dare ruin your clothes." And basically you say, "Okay, I won't, Dad." But as you get out, you notice it's wet. And you look and you see it's really muddy, and it looks so fun. I mean, just to squish in and splash in. And so before you know it, you run and you jump both feet into that puddle, and mud just goes everywhere and water goes everywhere. It covers your clothes. And you're having a blast. It's glorious until you hear your daddy say, "Son," or "Daughter, what are you doing?" You hear your name being yelled out. And you look over at Dad, and all of a sudden you notice steam coming out of those ears because he just told you. He just told you. Immediately he says, "You deserve a spanking." And in reply, you begin to cry, "Please, please, Daddy, don't spank me." And Dad shoots back and says, "You know that disobedient children deserve a spanking. Now get inside." And as you go in, children, and you prepare yourself to get a spanking, you know that it's going to be bad. And you hear your dad walking down the hall and into your room. And Dad comes in and he says, "Honey, do you realize that you were disobedient to Daddy?" And sobbingly, you say, "Yes." And he asks you, "What do disobedient children deserve?" And you begin to cry, and you begin to sob the words, "A spanking." And Daddy says, "That's right. You deserve a spanking. But Daddy's not going to give you a spanking this time." Friends, that's mercy. That is mercy. You deserved a spanking, but you didn't get one. You deserved a ticket, but you didn't get one. It's getting or giving a break from punishment. Now, in spiritual terms, let me ask you this. Have you ever thought about what we deserve from God? What we deserve from God. As I look at Scripture, it's so clear. It's so clear. The Bible says, because of our sin, we deserve death and hell. And that's serious. I don't say that with a light, with levity, with a happy face. Because of our sin, the Bible says that we deserve death and hell. Listen to me to Romans 6:23. It says this, for the wages of sin is death. In other words, those who sin deserve death. Listen to Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now that word all there, A-L-L, is a most important word because it doesn't leave anyone out. Everyone is in the same bucket. We've all sinned and we all deserve the wages of that sin, which is death. And so every single human being that ever lived, that ever will live, without exception, is guilty of sin, which is doing what God forbids. But I want you to notice what Peter declares here. Peter declares that mercy has been offered from God. Mercy has been offered from God. In other words, we deserve death and hell, but God offers us the opposite, which is life in heaven. And this is what God, this is what got Peter so pumped up to the point that he's praising God. That sounds marvelous, doesn't it? Mercy. How many of y'all love mercy? Say amen. I love mercy. When I hear that there's mercy offered, I've got to get some. You know what I'm saying? I've got to get some. And Peter in no way beats around the bush. He clearly says that mercy is directly tied to Jesus Christ. Mercy from God is directly tied to Jesus Christ. Again, look at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of who? Jesus Christ from the dead. First of all, I want you to notice that this just isn't any God that he's talking about here. Peter's very specific. He says the God that we're talking about is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot receive mercy from God without Jesus Christ. You cannot worship God rightly without Jesus Christ. If he is not in the mix, it is not worship to God. Jesus Christ must be in the mix. But secondly, here's what I want you to notice. And it's the purpose for which we've gathered here this morning. Here's what I want you to notice. It's the resurrection of Jesus Christ that provides us the ability to be brought from death to life. It's the resurrection of Jesus. When Peter says that God caused us to be born again through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, here's what he means. He means that spiritual life is directly connected to Jesus rising out of the tomb 3 days after he was dead. It's directly connected to that. You see, Jesus died and rose again so that you and I might live. That's why he died and rose again, so that you and I might live. And that's exactly what he told us in John 10:10. Listen to what he says. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come, and this is Jesus talking, I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. Friends, life is only found in Jesus Christ or through Jesus Christ. And so that's what we see first here. But next, Peter wants us to see what kind of life is found through Jesus Christ. And so this brings us to our second point this morning. Life with Jesus is to the fullest. Life with Jesus is to the fullest. Listen to verse 4. And I want you to hear the type of life that is found for a person that's connected to Jesus. Basically, he says, you've been born again. And then look at verse 4. To obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade. When I hear that, when I read that, I say life to the fullest. That's what I see described there. An inheritance. We all know what an inheritance is, right? It's something of great value that is passed down for us. It's not something that we've earned. Just by nature of someone loving us and passing it down to us, we get it. And so you see, God gives us an inheritance through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and it is a most valuable inheritance. What is this inheritance that God is talking about? I want you to get this. What inheritance is Peter talking about here through Jesus Christ? Here's what this inheritance is. It's eternal life. It's eternal life. I just read to you Romans 6:23 a few moments ago, but I didn't read it all. I just read half of it. Let me read for you the whole thing now. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God, the inheritance of God, is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, eternal life with God is the free gift that God passes down to us if we are connected to Jesus Christ. And I want you to notice the three characteristics here. What sweet characteristics they are of our inheritance, which is eternal life with God. The first characteristic is this. Peter says it's imperishable. Imperishable. Imperishable means that through Jesus Christ, your life is no longer corruptible. Not your physical life, but your spiritual life. Although you will physically die, you will spiritually live forevermore. And even more, he's coming back and your body will be raised up too. You are no longer physically or spiritually corruptible. You're in no way liable to death. It is not subject to destruction of any kind. Isn't that a sweet promise? It's the promise of John 3:16, isn't it? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whosoever believes in him shall not what? Perish. That's the promise of John 3:16. But have everlasting life. What a beautiful, sweet promise from our God. What an inheritance. Through Jesus, you will never perish. But second, Peter says that our inheritance is also undefiled. It's undefiled. Undefiled describes things that are unstained or unpolluted. Everything in this fallen world is polluted by sin, isn't it? But in heaven, our inheritance, our eternal life, there will be no pollution of sin. It will be undefiled. It'll be flawless. It'll be perfect. That's the promise through Jesus Christ. And third, Peter says that our inheritance will not fade away. Now, I don't know if you've ever received a large amount of money, but it goes quickly, doesn't it? I don't know if maybe you're retired. Maybe you didn't receive an inheritance, but maybe you're retired and you had saved years and years and years, and maybe you've seen it go quicker than you thought it would, or maybe the stock market dipped, and all of a sudden what you thought you were going to have to live on, half of it is there now. That's an inheritance that passes away, that fades away. But that's not the case here. You see, we live in a world every day where we see things fade away, whether it's beauty or strength when you look in the mirror. Have you noticed your beauty and strength fade over the years? You're not as strong as you once were. Your face isn't as perfect as it used to be. That shoulder aches, doesn't it? That knee is killing you. We see things fade away all the time. Or think about just spring here as we see the flowers bloom. How long do they last? I mean, it seems like they're gone in a few days, aren't they? They fade away. But here in the eternal life that God is promising us through Jesus Christ, our eternal life will never fade away. Sin will have no effect on us. Time will have no effect on us. Isn't that an amazing truth? It is an amazing truth, and it blows my mind. But that's what God promises us through Jesus Christ. My friends, that is life to the fullest. It's life to the fullest. So we've seen here that life is only found through Jesus. We've seen that life with Jesus is to the fullest. And here's the final thing that Peter wants us to see here. Life with Jesus is protected. Life with Jesus is protected. Look at the end of verse 4 and then verse 5. Reserved in heaven for you who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. You see, to all who believe in the name of Jesus, this great inheritance is waiting for us in heaven. I love that word reserved. I mean, as I've looked and as I've meditated on this passage of Scripture, the word reserved has just jumped off the page. It's leapt off the page and into my spirit. Maybe your translation says kept in heaven for you. I'm sure that most of you, at one time or another, you've called ahead to a restaurant and said, I'd like to make a few reservations. I have a family of five coming, and we would like to eat supper at 6. And the host usually says something like this, we'll have a table waiting for you. That's a reservation. And at that moment, when they take that reservation, they begin to work to protect and to guard and to watch over the place in the restaurant where you will eat, so that when you arrive, you just come right on in and you sit down and you sup and you eat and you're full. Peter's saying that a very similar thing happens right here. Your eternal life in heaven is guarded and protected and reserved. But here's the difference. Jesus made the reservation for us. Jesus made the reservation for us. That's what he's talking about when he tells us in John 14:23. You know this passage. This is what he means when he tells us this in John 14:23. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. I go to make a reservation for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Friends, Jesus has made a reservation for us. But here's another difference. Have y'all ever had a reservation get messed up? Huh? You make the reservation and you get there and they forgot you. I mean, they don't have your name anywhere on the books. You say, well, I told the hostess and she said she had my spot reserved. And they said, well, we're sorry. We've already given it to someone else. I mean, that happens all the time, doesn't it? Here's the difference. Here's the difference. That's not how it is with Jesus. Whenever Jesus makes a reservation for you in heaven, it is secure and it will not fail to bear fruit. Why is that? Why is that? Peter says that God himself watches over the reservation in heaven and protects it and assures it. As one author says, heaven is the securest place in all the universe. The Apostle John characterizes it as a place where nothing unclean and no one who practices abomination and lying shall ever come into it, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But not only does God guard our inheritance, which is eternal life, church, with him, here's what I want you to see. Not only is God working in heaven to reserve your place, he's working on earth also to reserve your place. Here on earth, he perseveres us. He's working through our faith. He's persevering our faith until it's ready to be revealed. Which means basically, when he says that, he's saying, until the time you die or Jesus comes back. One of the two are going to happen. And God is working to keep you believing. He's working to keep you believing. Because here's what I know about my heart. I hope you found it to be true about yours. I would never persevere in faith until the day I die if it was not for the work of God through the Holy Spirit that keeps me. Amen. Have you realized it about your heart? We sing that song, prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Do you ever feel your heart pulling away from God? Yeah, me too. But God works to bring us back, to hold us. Really, you know what? This is the beauty of salvation through God. He gets glory for every single aspect. Every single aspect. Our very existence is a gift from God. Jesus Christ, who lived the life that we cannot live and died the death that we deserve, that is a gift from God. Being born again, which is the work called regeneration, is a gift from God. The faith you have unto salvation is a gift from God. The fact that you believe in Jesus Christ until the day you die is a gift from God. Now let me ask you a question that Paul posed to the Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians 4, verse 7, he asked them this, what do you have that you did not receive? And I ask you that this morning. What do you have that you did not receive? God does the work. We simply get to enjoy the life that He has afforded us by His grace through Jesus Christ. What a life. What a life that God has earned for us through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now today I pray, and here's my prayer. I pray that if you do not have the life that Peter promises here, as I've spoken, maybe the Spirit has spoken to you and said, you don't have this. If you do not have it this morning, I pray that you would begin to desire it. And here's what Scripture promises to you. If you will hate your sin and turn from it and place your faith on Jesus Christ alone, you can be saved today. You can come to life today. And this life that we've talked about here in 1 Peter can be yours. It can be yours. Maybe you're wondering this morning, as I say this, how do I know, Ben? How do I know if I'm alive in Jesus Christ? Let me say this to you. You cannot know whether or not you're alive in Jesus Christ through an experience of simply praying a prayer or walking an aisle or being baptized or joining the church or any other outward action. Listen to me closely. So many people place the assurance of their salvation on some outward action. And friends, I declare to you, it goes much deeper than that. It goes much deeper than that. Here's some questions. Here's some questions that I think Scripture boils it down to. Whether or not you can discern this morning if you are alive in Jesus Christ. Here's some questions I want you to answer for yourself in your mind. First is this, do you love God and the things of God? Just answer that in your own mind. I don't want a hand raised or a nod or anything. Do you love God and the things of God? Second, do you strive to be obedient to God and hate it when you're not? Third, do you hate your sin? Do you hate your sin? Fourth, are you trusting in Jesus Christ alone for forgiveness? Fifth, do you delight in God's Word, which is the Bible, when you read it or hear it taught? Sixth, are you excited about being around other Christians and worshiping with them? If you answered no, friends, to any of these questions, if you answered no to these questions, I want to be frank with you this morning. There is a good chance that you are not alive in Jesus Christ and you are not saved. I just want to be very clear and very frank with you, but I want to say to you this morning that you can be saved if the Holy Spirit this morning is drawing you to repentance and faith. You can be saved if you will come and repent and believe on Jesus Christ. Now, for the believers here this morning, this wonderful truth means that you can rest in the peace and joy of Jesus Christ. You have an imperishable inheritance earned for you by Jesus Christ and affirmed by His resurrection. That's what the resurrection has to do with all this. It's the first fruits of our own resurrection. Do you see that? The sting of death is gone. Death is swallowed up in victory. You, as a believer, you've come to life. But dear one, there's more to come. There's more to come that will be even more marvelous than what you've already experienced. And I pray, believer, on this Easter morning, in this Easter season, that you would long for Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God and seek every opportunity to say with Peter, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." This Easter season, may you rejoice in eternal life that's only found through Christ Jesus.
Thank you for joining us for this message from Ben Simpson, pastor of West Main Baptist Church in Alexandria, Tennessee. If you would like more information about our church or about how you can obtain other messages, please call us at 615-529-2813. 615-529-2813. We are also on the internet at westmainbaptist.com. As we leave you, may you trust in Christ alone to the glory of God.